Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra and by Memphis College of Art. There has been a lot in the news lately about the Memphis Symphony Orchestra and their financial situation, and I really thought it would be important for you to all hear it directly from the horse's mouth, as it were. Roland Valliere is president and CEO of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Gail Rose is board chairman, and they have both joined me today. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, good to be here.
Thanks.
I think later we can get into maybe why this happened, but let's sort of look now at what is happening and what it means both for the rest of this season and for the future of the organization. I should mention that we're recording this about a week ahead of when you're hearing it, so things may have changed by the time this goes on the air. My understanding is that in order to finish out this existing season, you needed $400,000. And since then, you have whittled that down some. You got a very nice gift from one of our Memphis Symphony chorus members, Herbert Zeman. And there is now a Kickstarter project going on to help fund the rest of the season. But we can assume that you're still going to need some money to finish out this season. And what sort of things are you going to have to require to finish up this season as the season stands?
Well, we've made some real progress. We're not all the way there yet. Some of it's been fairly painful. I've reduced staff and made some other administrative cuts to the total of about $200,000. So towards the $400,000, we were able to reduce that or improve that by about $200,000 on the cost side, some programmatic changes as well. And then the gift from Herbert you mentioned is certainly a very positive thing and very helpful towards moving us towards that $400,000 number. So we still have a ways to go, but we're making real progress. There's still some unknowns going forward, just given the nature of the situation, until we can get there. We need to close that gap completely on a cash basis for this year. And I guess we'll talk about this in a minute, but the reason for that is we no longer have any money in the bank, i.e. the endowment.
Right.
And that really has been for a period of time how we've been able to sustain ourselves or cover operating deficits. So there are two dimensions to this. One is closing this year, we say, with grace and fulfilling our obligations to the musicians and the community. And then the second sort of parallel path is figuring out a model going forward so far as the structure is concerned to be able to sort of really function or live within our means on an operational annualized basis.
Mm-hmm. Gail, now what does that mean? What do you have to do in order to let's assume that we make it through the rest of this season, and what has to happen then to put the symphony back on track for the future?
Well, there's really two paths to that, if you will. So one, as Roland mentioned, is that without any reserve funds, without any endowment, there is no possibility of living beyond our means.
Right.
So what we have to do is look at the what we call normalized revenue. That's, you know, a symphony gets its money from ticket sales. It gets what's called contract services, and that's, you know, going out with the opera and the ballet and to surrounding communities. And then there is grant funding, and there's also contributed income like the annual fund. And when you add up all those revenue sources, it's about $1 million to $1.5 million, depending on which year you're looking at, short.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only choice we have is to look at that revenue side and then say we have to make enough cuts to live within that revenue, short of what we've been calling either a Hail Mary or a sea change gift that would result in replenishing the endowment. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that there is no debt associated with the Memphis Symphony Orchestra.
That's very important.
A lot of orchestras across the country have to face some kind of legal reorganization like a Chapter 7 or Chapter 11, and those are involving big creditors. We don't own the Cannon Center. We are a tenant there. It was built for us, but there is no big creditor breathing down our necks, and that's really important because it indicates that that the organization has been managed well. The endowment and the diminishment of that was an attempt to try to keep the organization and the quality of the orchestra that Man Chin, our music director, has built. So I think that in the next month or so, if that big sea change gift were to come, you know, I think then we'd all breathe a big sigh of relief. But honestly, as you can imagine, I've been everywhere. This is not a surprise. I've been talking to the foundations and the corporations for the last year, and I think that we have to really face where we are and then try to build back from that.
The number that we have seen bandied about is 20 to 25 million, and which seems like just an insane amount of money. But I want people to understand that that's not symphony operating funds. That's endowment. You can live off the interest from that.
Yes. Generally, you know, deficits in a performing arts organization are something that are expected, actually.
True.
Unfortunately, that it necessitates a savings account that we call endowment, and that endowment will kick off, you know, 3 or 4%. It used to be 5%, and but you know, in this economy, it'll kick off an annual contribution toward that gap between expenses and revenue, and it's absolutely necessary. And so that's really what we're saying, is that the organization needs a replenishment of that safety net. And when you look at other symphony orchestras in Kansas City and Cincinnati and San Diego, and you know, this phenomenon is happening across the country. Those that have big endowments and you know, are in a much different position than we are right now.
The Memphis Symphony has a huge season. You do Masterworks concerts and classic accents and pops and special events. And on top of all of those events, you have a massive outreach program in the schools and in the community and all these places. Talk a little bit about how those outreach programs might have not necessarily contributed to this problem, but certainly were a part of how it ended up in this particular sort of situation.
Well, I think maybe about 8 years ago, it became apparent that the symphony needed to be a symphony of the people and for the people, really becoming so integral and so much a part of the Memphis community. I mean, it's really been doing that for years. But the idea that community engagement might actually be a way to really engage the community and to receive acknowledgement and funding from different sources in the community was something that the major national foundations are interested in. So we received some big grants from national foundations like the Mellon Foundation to do some experimental work. The Arts Place last year, where we performed 4 or 5 concerts in the Soulsville area, the Opus One, which is a musician-led, very innovative experiment in attracting a younger audience. We just do amazing amount of work. All of that is sort of research and development to see what is effective. I mean, you have to be able to experiment like that, and that's what foundations often do, is put in money that can test something. But when that funding is limited, and when it ends, you have to have replacement revenue, and you know that runway was short for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Arts Place grant was last year; it ended, and you know, in the midst of everything, that replacement revenue has not been really found. So that's kind of how we find ourselves in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Was the economy a factor in this? I know that many foundations, of course, had to cut back on their gifts. That had to have affected some of this.
Absolutely. I mean, it affected, one, the endowment principle in general. I mean, as most investment funds, it lost, you know, about 40% of its value on a couple days of the of a poor mm-hmm. stock market mm-hmm. in 2008.
Right.
So that contributed immensely. Our ticket sales went down. Our contributed revenues went down. Most arts organizations and most nonprofits experienced the same thing. So that certainly didn't help. And we're still climbing out of that. You know, it's harder and harder to get corporate support for the arts. You have to work very hard to try to get marketing dollars. So the foundations in Memphis, given the issues in Memphis, are really focused on education. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just a very difficult time to find your footing.
We're talking with Roland Valliere, President and CEO of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, and Gail Rose, Board Chairman of the Symphony, about the Symphony's current financial situation. Roland, you have had experience in this sort of thing before. You have brought a couple of orchestras sort of back from the brink of this kind of situation, which I'm sure is a large part of the reason why you're here now. Let's assume, because like I said, we don't know where we're going to be by the time this airs, that we have managed to make it through this season. And looking forward, what if we don't get that Hail Mary? What if we don't get that sea change? What has to happen then with this organization?
Well, I think the harsh reality is it needs to be some sort of organizational reset. And when we can't continue doing the things we've been doing in the same way that we've been doing them and expect a different result. We just can't. I mean, the reality is the money's not there, you know, and mm-hmm. so what choice do we really have? It's either do a reset and come up with something that really matches revenue with expense or you know, just blow out the candles completely. I mean, those are really the choices, absent an infusion of new funds, which, of course, we're working very hard to do, but, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. we can't speculate anymore. You know, we need to build a future based on from the foundation of what we now have and what we now know. Because speculating, you know, there's nothing to speculate with.
Right.
And so that's just a harsh reality. How that materializes and what it looked like, you know, what it looks like, what's the business model, if you want to call it that, I don't think we know. I mean, this is a process of discovery, kind of like scientific discovery, of looking at a variety of options and sort of testing them and seeing what works best for this community in a way that benefits this community. We hope to engage the musicians in that process by having very healthy and open dialogues with them to be partners in sort of figuring that out. But at the end of the day, it really is the board of directors, you know, fiduciary responsibility to sort of make that determination.
Mm-hmm. It's a spooky time. We were talking about this the other day here, and it will not just affect the Memphis Symphony, as you said. This will roll over to the ballet and the opera and all of these other organizations that use these musicians. I'm curious as to it seems like there's not much else that the musicians can actually do in terms of sacrifice. They've already taken a pretty good pay cut a few years ago. They don't make a lot of money, really.
Yes.
So are there things that they can do that will help here?
You know, it's kind of fascinating from a sort of, you know, case study perspective, if you want to look at it that way. And I don't mean to be glib about it, but, you know, you look at a lot of industries over time that have experienced real sea change.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's driven by some sort of innovation, particularly technological innovation. You know, whereas it might have taken 120 dock workers to unload a boat, now it takes two, you know,
right.
and that sort of thing. And so I think in part what we're seeing, not just with symphony orchestras, but with the performing arts and even beyond that, is general, is that, you know, there really is a sea change taking place in terms of how people enjoy culture.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I mean, some of the data is just really sort of fascinating. You can read that the more people than ever are enjoying classical music, but in a much more kind of diversified way. Spotify, iTunes, mm-hmm. digital concert mm-hmm. halls, in the movie theater, and those sorts of things. Of course, that's not close to being the same thing as a live concert experience, but it is an option,
right.
That wasn't available before. So more people are enjoying classical music in more ways, which means any singular way, like attending a live symphony event, now has more competition. And so you sort of step back and say, well, really, what business are we in?
Mm-hmm.
Are we in the business of fielding a symphony orchestra? Or are we in the business of connecting music to people? And if we're in the business, in other words, are we sort of a product-driven organization, or are we a service-driven organization? And I think a lot of industries that have gotten themselves, or companies that have gotten themselves in trouble, is by sort of misdiagnosing that problem. You know, the railroads thinking they were in the railroad business instead of the transportation business and that sort of thing. So I think the challenge for us is to, first of all, determine what kind of problem is this? Is it just, you know, is it better management, you know, more effective boards, you know, just doing a better job of what we're already doing? And is that going to solve the problem? Or are there larger forces at bay that are different than the past? So essentially what we need to do is create a new market to serve new customers while continuing to serve those that have already been part of us. And so I think the calculus of that is really critical, because then it allows us to sort of figure out what the alternative solutions are going forward.
And I know that's something you're working on very hard right now. I tell you what, let's do. Let's, when you guys get this figured out, let's come back and do this again, and we'll talk about what's going to happen going forward. Gail Rose, what can people do right now to help?
There are several ways you can help. You can, there's a Kickstarter campaign on social media.
That is Save Our Symphony Memphis.
Save Our Symphony Memphis. You can keep up with a musician-driven site on Facebook. Mm-hmm. All the latest news. The symphony organization itself has a site or a page on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We are sending out e-blasts. You can go to our site and donate now. You can walk in off the street, which a lot of people are doing.
Really?
It's so encouraging. Yes, and just dropping off checks. You can buy tickets to the rest of the season. I want to encourage everyone that's ever contributed to the symphony to go ahead and do so now. We have got the Dream Project coming up May 16th, one of the most exciting commissions that we've ever had. There will be the Sunset Symphony that we all love. And just really step forward if you care about the Memphis Symphony today, because we need everyone to rally right now.
All right. Go to memphissymphony.org. You can check out all the information there. Go to the website, go to the Facebook page, and go into their offices there on Mount Moriah.
Mendenhall, yeah.
And drop off a bundle of cash, and I'm sure they would appreciate it. My guest today, Roland Valliere, President and CEO of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, Gail Rose, Board Chairman of the Memphis Symphony. We will talk further as we get further into this process. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much, Darrell.